Wednesday, Christmas Day. We slept late and breakfasted leisurely. I called Zephyr. Sammy is still desperately sick. I talked to Martiana, and Tony is to come out of the intensive care room today, and before the day is over, see his grandchildren. And this was my Christmas present. It was unbounded relief and release. He has a good chance to return to complete health, and maybe we'll have those wilderness pack trips and golden aspens. About 11:30, we went into the Lincoln room, and there Father Kiefer held a mass. It was Lucy's idea, and all of the Alexanders attended. The height of ecumenism, and Lucy and Olga and Patrick Lynn crawling around on the floor, and all of us concerned lest he grab hold of the white cloth which Father Kiefer had put on top of the bird's nest table before he placed his vessels and cross upon it. And Lyndon, sitting there attentively, looking more and more like a patriarch. I wonder if it's my imagination that this flu has etched a few more lines in his face, and Linda and I. It was an informal, oddly sweet mass. Father Kiefer referred to Patrick as the child of us all, and asked for special blessings on the two young men of our family. When it was over, we went back into the yellow room and opened more and more presents. My lovely fur blanket from Tommy Corcoran makes me feel like Eleanor of Aquitaine, even without the baronial fireplace and the hot mead. Close to two, we drove out to the Clark Cliffords. Christmas Day is his birthday, and they have open house. There was one of our daughters there, five of her family, and a secretary who's been with Clark more than 30 years. It's one of the most warmly welcoming houses I know, full of antiques and porcelains and paintings and casual shots of important people stretching over at least four administrations. We sat by the fire and had a drink and enjoyed a little quiet visiting and then left soon. And Patrick Lyndon nearly drove us wild on the way back, trying to turn a somersault, his latest trick, on the floor of the back seat, which was occupied by four other people. Lucy handed him his bottle to amuse him, and he tried to give it to Lyndon, who took it with gusto and pretended that he was drinking it. And I hope that none of the cars that passed us recognized any of us. It would have been an unsettling sight. Back at the White House, Lyndon lay down. He is not really over the flu yet. And I made a few thank you calls to Virginia Rusk and Horace Busby for that wonderful sampler more than 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And talked to Hubert and Muriel to wish them a happy Christmas. Hubert had just gotten over the flu, and Muriel sounded like she was about to come down with it. And then we talked to the Trumans, and that, for me, was one of the high points of the day. They sounded brave and strong, but they made me feel good about calling. I think it meant something to them. And Lyndon said to President Truman, I've been looking over all these bills I've passed, and I want you to know over and over and over, they began in your time. They were your ideas. I was just able to build on the good things you'd started. It was an extraordinarily generous display, warm and human and much enjoyed by both of them, and I watched with a broadening smile. And then Lyndon did another of those things, impetuous and warm and sweet, that are typical of him. He'd been talking to Bill Bundy, who'd said he was going out to Jim Rose for an open house, and Lyndon said, let's go. I reminded him that C.R. was coming to have dinner with us, and it was really too late. And he said, no, we won't stay but 15 minutes. So in a hurry, we dressed and drove out to the Rose house, much to the concern of the Secret Service, who did not know the address, and so I directed them. And the look on Libby's face when we rang the doorbell and she opened it made me real happy that we'd come. There were two young Rose home, Clarissa and young Jim, and the Bill Bundys, and their son, who is studying government at Harvard under Neustadt, and Mrs. Strauss. Lyndon was in a mellow mood, amusing, jovial, and gay, and he and Jim had a banter going about their years in government that must have been pretty interesting to a young student of government. Lyndon had made some extremely complimentary remarks on the way out about Bill Bundy, his capacity and his handling of his job, which pleased me very much because I've always liked him and Mary. He took some buttons for a sport coat to Jim, one of his favorite gifts this Christmas, and a charm to Libby. It was the sort of evening that we used to have so frequently back in the Senate and so scarce in the White House. And I was conscious that it meant something extra to Jim and Libby because Lyndon was the president, but I hope they and everybody also realize that we have our needs, too, for companionship and friendship and an evening out. And then we were back on the second floor of the White House by 7:30. Linda had kept CR good company. The Alexanders joined us, and Marie Famer, and the Schulmans. We all had a drink, and then, quite early, about 8, we went in for a Christmas dinner in that beautiful family dining room, a jewel of a flower arrangement, with tiny glittering balls among the deep reds and golds and bronzes of the chrysanthemums and roses, and the soft glow of candlelight. Mary Rather joined us. I said the blessing from a very full heart, with Tony in my mind behind every word. And we had a delicious Christmas dinner, not cooked by Zephyr, but Mr. Haller had come to our aid, a beautiful turkey and dressing, but nobody's can compare with the 27 years of dressing that we've had from Zephyr, and sweet potatoes with marshmallows, and green beans and hot rolls, and cranberry salad, and ambrosia and fruit cake. We all ate with abandon, and then we went down to the theater and saw The President's House, the uncorrected print, and the photographer and me, alas, convinces me it should not have been close-ups, not at 56. But the rooms were superb, and I'm glad I've done it. And then, while Lyndon and CR talked business, Linda and Lucy and I went into my bedroom and collapsed in hysterical laughter. We had planned to record in the family Bible the birth of Lucinda on this, her 2-month birthday in the White House. As the days dwindle down to a precious few, less than a month now, and the stands rise in front of us for the inaugural of President Nixon, it is almost funny how more and more you think of the things you ought to do while you're still in the White House. Ah, but so many we have done. This one, alas, eluded us. We could not write in the family Bible. There were no more spaces left under births. We would have to take it back to Dorothy Torito and get some more pages inserted. The only remaining blank page is the page of deaths.